It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host. I'm the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown. Our phone number is 251-255-5155, and our website is www.cannabama.com. That's C-A-N-N-A-B-A-M-A. You know, we're there for you. I say the same little spiel. I feel like a robot every time I start.
But it is important.
It is important, because we want to remind y'all where we are. And if you're new to the show, welcome, and that's where you can find us. We'll repeat it at the top of the second half of the hour. I'm joined tonight by Sergio. Again, he is such a great co-host. Welcome, Serge.
Hello.
So,
as a great co-host, I don't say anything other than hello.
Just one big freaking ray of sunshine.
Yes, there we go.
Yes, his t-shirt says one big freaking ray of sunshine.
And an angry sun. Or just, just...
Right. And Phil, now we're talking about fashion, Phil's wearing a Lord of the Rings t-shirt that's really cool. And I'm wearing a t-shirt that says smoking weed is a human right.
And we'll get more into that, except for in Alabama, apparently it's not a human right.
We don't care about
human rights. As the legislation goes.
Right. So I just want to remind everybody that we are full steam ahead on our plans for 420. Go to the Cannabama Facebook page. Go to the Cannabama Instagram page. All this entertainment pages. Song for song. We've got an event. There's a link to get tickets. The tickets are $10 for 21 and up. And with that $10, you get a pre-roll worth $10 to $12 and a drawstring bag to carry all your stuff. We don't want anybody bringing in bags, because we don't want a bunch of dummies bringing in weed or weapons. And let's face it, people ain't shy about weapons around here lately. So we're trying to make sure that everybody's safe. We've got the park barricaded off. We have two entry points, and we will have law enforcement on hand at the entries and around the park to make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do.
But it also the bags are limited. So
want to
be
300. The first,
300
people get the bag, and you can still get a pre-roll or some gummies, whichever your choice is, after that. But we only have 300 bags, and we're only going to have 300 t-shirts.
And you can rep them after the show, thing, and I mean, come on, it's gonna be cool.
So you'll be able to bring in your keys and your wallet and stuff, and put them in that bag, and then your entry swag, and then there's gonna be swag all over the park.
Yeah,
and there's shopping too. So if you want to shop, you'll have something to carry it around in, and we don't have to worry about people and what in God's green earth might be in their bags, because I know I got some crazy stuff in my bag.
I'm just going to make sure that these bags can hold a lot of food.
Yeah.
Because I want some of the food that we're talking about being there.
Yes, and we've got some shit, like legit chefs.
I'm glad you
did not curse.
Reiterated that word.
I did not.
Chefs.
Shut up. You're going to get me in trouble again. This time it'll be me. I have managed to 2.5 years, and I've never cursed.
I took a legit chef the other day.
And if you people hung out with me when I'm in a bad mood, you would know what a feat that is. I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
What was that? That was in Ellen, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Gwen,
I
love Jesus, but I drink a little. I'll tell you what.
That's exactly right. Okay, so we have a serious topic tonight. I can't remember how I found the article. I think I might have just come across it, or maybe Alabama Cannabis Coalition. That's what it was. Alabama Cannabis Coalition posted this article the other day. And it was my birthday this weekend, and so Marty was in town, and then I went shopping with my daughter, and I didn't really work, so I didn't read it until, this morning, I think.
You sent it to me this morning.
I didn't really have a plan for the show. I was just going to find a cool article or something to talk about.
Better cool article than this one?
So, we got a problem, folks. I'm going to preface this entire episode and promise to try not to get too heated and inject my too much of my opinion.
Too much personal bias is a bad thing. Right. Obviously, is where we're going to come from this article itself, because there's a lot of personal bias within this article.
Well, there is on the side of the subject.
Yeah,
and of course us, because we're obviously passionately supportive of personal freedom, medical freedom, and all forms of legalized cannabis. So yes, we are on the opposite end of the fence. So okay, here's the article. It was in AL.com. Alabama gubernatorial candidate. This is what he says. The state is pushing a drug cartel with medical marijuana legalization. And the first thing underneath this inflammatory title here is a photo. And it's the day that Kay Ivey, our governor, did the ceremonial signing of the bill to legalize. And I'm looking at little girls in smocked clothing, in wheelchairs, boys in wheelchairs, children, their mothers and fathers and grandparents, and the governor. Tell me, does this look like a cartel to you? I mean,
if it is, I see them all the time at Golden Corral.
Right. They look like they all just came from a really nice church service, and they're upstanding citizens, and these are little kids who you can tell most of them have severe disabilities.
And a lot of the other ones are smiling, look happy that it's happening. Like, so.
Right, and there's even a lady holding a picture of her deceased child.
So, which means that it obviously looks like an advocation for, like, medical marijuana, because obviously maybe she knows something that we don't know.
Right.
Hey, this could have helped my child.
This could be a picture of them signing a bill for any reason.
Exactly. That doesn't you have know? To be medical marijuana. It just, but right. The fact is that they would use this kind of shows like there's a lot of people behind it.
Yes.
And even a lot of the people that come to mind where people think like this is bad, this isn't what comes to mind.
Right.
You know, that your average churchgoer, your average person that you
right.
see every single day.
Right.
Utilizing a product that is ultimately good for your health, because even our body has
right.
a system for it.
So the article starts, a leading Republican governor's candidate said Thursday that Alabama officials are pushing to establish a drug cartel to sell medical marijuana gummies in every Alabama community. Okay.
One can only
first help. Sentence. First sentence, drug cartel, give me a break. Okay? Give me a break.
If you've ever been to Texas or you've ever seen Narcos,
right.
you know what a drug cartel
yeah.
is.
Everybody go on Netflix and watch.
Yeah, just watch one episode.
Just the one. Narcos Mexico is about
weed.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
No, the first Narcos is about cocaine in Colombia. Pablo Escobar and all that. But the second one, the one Narcos Mexico is about the weed trade.
Mm.
Anyway. And he's saying that they're establishing a drug cartel to sell medical marijuana gummies in every Alabama community. Gummies are absolutely not part of the bill. There's no gummies. There's no edibles.
Yeah.
There is a lozenge, not a gummy. Lozenges are hard candy. And they're one flavor, and they're not sugar-coated, and they probably don't even taste good.
They sound like they don't taste good. It's not even...
Oh, they sound terrible.
Yeah.
It's
like we're eating Tums for medicine.
More like a... what are those cherry Ludens cough drops? With a little weed skunk on the end of it.
I really want to just do like the Ricola yell, but like obviously they'd be like, no, you know, we're not cool with that or anything.
Yeah. Okay, so here we're using an incredibly inflammatory term, drug mm-hmm. cartel. And I'm like, have you been to Alabama before? one of the most conservative states in the union. And then medical marijuana gummies in every Alabama community. That, like I said, there's no gummies in the bill. So it goes on to say, Tim James, Mr. Tim James, you may not want to be friends with me after this, but I didn't really, you know, plan on meeting you anyway, but he's a businessman. He's a businessman, and more specifically, he is a lawyer, which I think is the most important part of this article, is knowing that this gentleman is a lawyer, and his father is a former governor, Fob James. I guess I didn't live there here that long enough to know who that is. But anyway, I imagine he probably was governor 40 years ago. So it says that he's polling a distant second behind Kay Ivey right now, who's the incumbent. And he's also criticizing the state's new system for being lenient in the training required for doctors who will eventually prescribe medical marijuana to patients. When we come back, There's so much. I mean, we may not even get through the whole article. We'll come back in just a minute and pick up with the medical training. Be right back.
To Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
All right, so we're getting right back into it. We're talking about Tim James, a lawyer who and son of a former governor. I believe we've just found out he was he won in 1978. So that was the year I was born.
That was his father, Forrest Fobb James Jr.
Right, his dad, Forrest Fobb James Jr. So this is Tim James. And he's a lawyer running for governor here in Alabama as a conservative Republican. And he's the second point, you know, we were just talking about him calling it a drug cartel and the beginnings of this absolute travesty of fear-mongering here. But the one thing that he talks about that I actually agree with was what I just said before the break, that he's critical of the leniency in the training required for doctors.
Which all should be.
Right. Well, but there's a four-hour online class, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they don't teach this in medical school. I mean, there's a handful. I think 3 or 4 years ago when I first was in the business, I heard several times it was like 1 in 9 medical schools even touches. Mm-hmm. Cannabis. There was one program in the country. Now there's a couple of other. The University of Michigan, I think University of Oregon has one now. There's a grad student program in Connecticut somewhere. But they are not teaching this in college or medical school.
And also the parallel to that, in as you know, education is very important. We can parallel this to, you know, even cops where they only have 12 weeks of training before they get on the force, but only 2 weeks of training with a gun.
Right.
You know, versus right. Like in other countries, well, they'll have months or maybe even years of training with weapons and before they ever get put on the streets.
Right. So I agree with him on that. There definitely needs to be more, and that's a whole other show. I do mm-hmm. want to say not everything he said was completely ridiculous, this being the one thing I actually agree with and is mm-hmm. very accurate.
Because that is a common fear for people to have, is not knowing what's going to happen when this stuff does become legal. Because, I mean, we've seen California, we've seen Colorado, we've seen Washington, and where a lot of these things have started to be kind of, obviously you're going to blame weed and marijuana, but it's a completely whole different story when it comes to why things are kind of deteriorating the way that they are.
Right. And and if you're in the medical profession or happen to be a doctor who plans to be a medical marijuana doctor, which, by the way, they're not allowed to advertise that they are mm-hmm. or anything like that. They're not allowed to, you know, attract people based on that. But if you really want to do the citizens of Alabama a service, start learning now. Mm-hmm. Find good sources of there's so much research from Jerusalem. The U.S. is paid for. There's more and more research now. Start learning now because you know what you know from medical school. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to medical school, but I've just taught myself, you know, found ways to learn and trusted sources. And, you know, any doctor worth their salt is going to do more than a four-hour course.
And take that into consideration as well, where there were so many people that in even the early 1920s and the early, like the late 1800s, where even medicinal, medical things that were happening, people that are practicing medicine were all based off of people that they heard about doing
well,
these certain procedures.
Well, it used to be done by apprenticeship.
Yeah, and there was they were learning about this stuff and how to do them specifically, or what you would consider a specialist, I would imagine.
Right.
It's more specialized rather than just generalized.
Right.
And that's kind of the idea where I would imagine there had to be more specialized people that come to, you know, the defense of marijuana itself that right. are like advocating, oh yeah, this is good for you, but in the long run, certain things can be bad for you. Either you could be introduced to it too early, depending on certain types of psychology
right.
of the mind.
But there's a way. I mean, the plant is so complex. Even advising, because there is, you know, there's so many things in this article that are wrong, and I don't want to get hung up on too many specifics, you know, each one.
But these open up a lot of
They do. There's a whole lot there's a whole lot lacking in that 4-hour online class.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to point out, you know, he is a lawyer. This guy running for governor, he is a lawyer. So I'm going to assume that he went to law school and has passed the bar. And legalese is like his second language.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's reading a medical marijuana bill, it's written in that legal jargon, and he should know way better than me, you know, what the words mean and the legalities listed in there. And so I think some of the things that he says make it sound like he didn't go to law school.
Well, a lot of this when I think of this, and we talked about this before we started, is how utilizing the word recreational is such a big thing, when even in the bill itself is not talking about recreational use, but medical use itself.
Right.
And that how it seems that he takes the whole spin off of the conversation of medical and puts it on recreational, when that's not even the conversation.
I mean, some of the things that he says in this article are nothing but reefer madness. Mm-hmm. 2.0.
Yeah, propaganda. Let's go back to the 1930s and tell everybody right. The Mexicans are bad.
Yeah. Okay, so the next statement that's made here says, this is a quote from Tim James. "This is nothing but a bait and switch to desensitize and get recreational use started." Okay, he said this to a town hall forum hosted by the Common Sense Campaign Tea Party of Baldwin County at the Daphne Civic Center. Their dream is recreational pot, and that is where they are going. I don't know who's
they.
Well, right. He you would think he's implying that's the Alabama state government's goal.
Yeah.
And we all know that's not true.
Because half of the DAs in Alabama don't want recreational,
right,
apparently.
Right, right. And so the director of Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, John McMillan, he said that James's characterization of the law and how it's being handled by his organization is a mischaracterization. I think that's being kind. I think it is. I mean, some of this, I don't know. I just don't think it was very well thought out for a lawyer who wants to run this state.
But then this also reads, again, like we were talking about before, it just reads like a person that really wanted to have an argument to bring forth because he didn't have something to talk about that day.
He's grasping for relevance. But in that effort, if you just went by his statements in this article with the knowledge that he's a lawyer and that he hasn't ever been in government before, but his family has, you know, this guy should be able to read a bill and then make accurate statements. Mm-hmm. And he is not. Because he's counting on the fact, just like most politicians, that you haven't read the bill, and that you're scared, and the one because largely, just in my experience, I don't think I've even met anyone, and I meet a lot of people, y'all. I don't think I've talked to anyone who was 1,000% against it, except the couple senators I've met in the state house, but they don't ever come out and just say it. Because they're just trying to please whoever's in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Got to get them constituents.
But, yeah, he's kicking up some dust, but I think he's going to make a fool of himself. And I don't think that that's an inaccurate, or an exaggeration on my part, because these make him look like he's incompetent.
We want what people would consider our representatives, our leaders, to be informed correctly, to where if they are saying statements like this, then have something to back it up rather than just what you've been hearing since the 1930s or what your parents told you or what your friend told you.
Well, why do you trust someone who either is incapable of regurgitating facts or would twist them for his own agenda? Why would we elect someone like that? You know, this article, you know, gives Senator Melson and the commission a voice, and we're just trying to take that a step further, because there has to be a balance of information.
Everybody's talking about marketing, you know, like
right.
we were talking about Senator or James's father, Fob James, mm-hmm. and just talking about how effective his marketing was in the 70s, where he became kind of the front runner of the the government, and where, you know, at least people could see him say what was going on. People would know this guy, people know this face, and people then trust this face. People then trust these words.
Right.
And that could be a dangerous thing whenever it comes to people not looking outside of those words or the outside of that legislation, especially because I'm comfortable with these people that tell me these things.
It's just like taking your doctor's word for it,
because exactly.
There's a man or a woman standing in front of you with a white coat.
Mm-hmm.
I can go buy a white coat all day long. I can embroider
there
my
There have
name
been
on
many
it.
People that went to court cases about
yeah,
doing that,
right.
Like being doctors and falsely, you right. know, prescribing and stuff.
So this, it goes on to talk about how it's mostly opposed by all Republican candidates except for Springville Mayor Dave Thomas. Vote for Dave.
Vote for Dave.
Yep. And so, but most of the candidates outright oppose the state's approach in legalizing. But Alabama did become the 37th state to do so last year. And, you know, we reported through that whole thing. And recreational marijuana, and I hate the word recreational, adult use, cannabis. Okay, let's stop using slang terms. That's another thing. Why would politicians want to call it marijuana? It's medical cannabis.
You're just perpetuating the fear.
Well, there are a few other inflammatory words that aren't used because they're offensive. And I guess they don't want to. It offends me because it has a certain connotation to it. It has a certain weight that is counterproductive.
And
to
even
say
as
marijuana.
Even as Hispanic, I mean, it doesn't bother me so much.
Right.
But I could look at it and say, oh, yeah, I could allow myself to be mad at that if I wanted to, because it's not even the correct usage of the word.
Right.
And I mean, and then
it's like using other slang terms against other groups of people.
Yeah.
And we all know that that's not okay.
And it would then becomes an interesting thing where it becomes trivialized because
right.
we see it in entertainment. And so it's not even really based on what lawmakers or people want specifically. You know, when, of course, you know, Senator James was talking about this is their recreational part, this is their dream, this is where they're going. Well, I mean, that just comes from the fact that people just watch a bunch of movies and hear a bunch of things, and people,
it just becomes normal.
Yeah, and then people just think that things don't make sense, which is why they search for more answers.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, that's where we're at right now, is people looking for more answers.
Right. Okay, so Senator Melson, who we all know, is the Dr. Tim Melson, who is a senator in Alabama, who has largely been the champion of medical. He says when you're running for office, you need an issue and you need to pick out an Achilles heel. I have nothing against Tim James, but being a doctor, good point there, he's staying in his lane. We need alternatives. And he added, it's easy to talk against it for the rhetoric of a campaign. But if you want to help people, you have to take a more open-minded view. When we come back, we're going to keep going and plowing through this terrible travesty of an article. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer. We are talking about Tim James, who is running for governor in the state of Alabama. I'm basically going through this article from AL.com from last week that is titled Alabama Gubernatorial Candidate. Basically, he's saying the state is pushing a drug cartel with medical marijuana legalization. So that's where we're at if you're just now joining us. And we're going through some of these misconceptions and just misstatements, whether they're purposeful, which if you've read anything on cannabis, they have to be somewhat purposeful. I did want to point out there's a little bit of a typo in the article. There's a small paragraph that says Alabama law prohibits the common recreational uses of marijuana, smoking, vaping, or ingesting cannabis in baked goods. The legislation allows consumption only by a tablet, gelatins, or vaporized oils. Vaporized oils are vapes. That's vaping. They probably mean extracted oils. I don't know, you know, there's, you know, a couple of words they could put in there, but vaporized oils is vaping. So that's a typo. Vaping is not allowed. So, we got to fix that. But anyway.
But then also saying marijuana smoking is not allowed, but then ingesting cannabis in baked goods, completely changing the verbiage.
Right. Right. So he's made this article that all anybody wants is recreational. And that this is like a gateway to recreational. And we were reading about John McMillan, who is in the Medical Marijuana Commission for Alabama. He says, I think my personal observation is people who are opposing it are saying that it opens the door for legalizing marijuana. And he used to be the state's former treasurer, by the way. We're all against that, the commission, the staff, and everyone. But we don't know what the future holds for that. And here's the key. It's a federal issue. Was it Friday that the federal legalization passed through the House of Representatives and is on to the Senate? So it is,
once again,
it may not happen. You know, anything can happen, but it's definitely legitimately on the docket in there. Like, they are dealing with it right now,
and it's going to happen more and more. It
will be a reality very soon. So Mr. James did not address how medical marijuana will be consumed by patients, but took issue with the training for doctors. We already covered that. Doctors should definitely have more than 4 hours of an online course. Who's creating the online course? Where are they getting the information? What tiny bit of information in 4 hours did they choose for these doctors to have to know? Because I'm genuinely curious. I would like to help this. I'm not trying to criticize for any reason, except that I want somebody to realize, wait a minute, you know, all this work is going into making this a legitimate, good, earnest program, and this is a problem, and somebody's got to say it.
And considering that, like, all the research and stuff is already there, and it's really just about putting it together, because I mean, it is, again, already there. Like you said in the beginning of the show, is you know, most of all of the research done from the 60s has been funded by the United States.
Right. And here's another typo that I'm just now realizing in the article. It says, but he took issue with the training the state is setting up for doctors to get certified before they can prescribe medical marijuana. There are no such thing as prescriptions for medical marijuana. I think I've touched on that before. They are not going to be prescribed. They will not advertise they are medical marijuana certified. They will recommend you for a medical card, and then you can get a medical card and go to a dispensary and get whatever works for you. And the people at the dispensary can help you figure out what method of consumption and all that good stuff. So it is not prescribed, and it never will be prescribed. That's not a thing. That's for FDA-approved drugs.
But which is interesting, too, because that, again, that would leave the knowledge and the education in the hands of those that they're buying it from.
Right.
Which is really cool.
People like me, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. And which is really cool because, I mean, doctors really have a lot to worry about when it comes to taking care of their patients and making sure that they're getting the correct medicine as they need and are prescribed by. And sometimes that overwhelmingness can also, you know, people can get misprescribed certain things.
Well, I've had a pharmacist catch, a bad mix before, mm-hmm. and say, wait a minute, I don't want to give you this until I speak to your doctor, because this could be a dangerous situation for you. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait for him to actually speak to my doctor, not the nurse.
Yeah.
And they discussed it before he would fill the prescriptions and made sure that he sat and thoroughly explained to me, mm-hmm. this is how easily this could be bad, so do this exactly like this.
Yeah.
And so I was aware and cautious. But anyway, but nobody's going to be prescribing it. But yes, the dispensary people are kind of like, you take your prescription to the pharmacy, that's all they know is drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They are
informed
on. So if
you have a question for it,
you can go and say, what is an antibiotic?
Mm-hmm.
And they can tell you. Mm-hmm. They can explain the differences. You know, they should be able to.
So these people at the dispensaries are essentially your pharmacists for cannabis, that they not unlike the doctors, should have education, but also
That's
should
exactly
have just
right.
as much education,
I tried
if
to
not
ask
more.
The state ag department 2 years ago plus if they were going to create a license and a process to get licensed for people like me who are, handling it and dealing with the customer boots on the ground. And they laughed at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, charge me $1,000. Give me a 5-page written exam. because then everybody around me will have to do the same thing. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, you're setting a standard for the next people that have to come up, rather than saying, "I'm gonna open up a shop. Oh yeah, I got a convenience store. I'm gonna sell Delta 8 on here,
right?
And then it be mislabeled, and then give you something completely different, most likely.
Right. Okay. So enough on the doctors, because we could go on about that all day. And then the article goes on to talk about,
we appreciate you doctors though.
You know, the practicing physicians can apply, blah, blah, blah. Permits have to be renewed. And every 2 years they have to complete a 2-hour refresher course, which, you know, this is interesting. They cannot advertise or promote that they practice medical marijuana or medical cannabis. That's the same thing.
Sounds like it's contradictory.
And McMillan's argument is they're medical doctors. They have years of training. Most of them already know about this. That's debatable. Okay, so
maybe they know about medical marijuana or cannabis, but not necessarily the effects and all of the things that the education would go into at the end of the day.
Right. So he starts talking about how there will be dispensaries on every corner. He calls them pot shops.
Starbucks?
He said pot shops could pop up anywhere in the state. He said prescriptions, again, not a thing, under the state law can be written for almost any ailment. Also not true. The list is very short. And he says the products will be available to almost anyone who needs it. And said the only thing missing from the list of conditions is a stubbed toe. That's just insulting, sir. Again, since you have a law degree, and I'm assuming you can read because you made it to law school, there are a limited number of conditions and nowhere near an acute pain issue. And Melson said there has to be a qualified condition, and it's for chronic pain that can't be fixed with conventional methods, not acute pain. You don't break your leg and go to the dispensary. You know? You don't. That's not how that works. It's still going to be normal. So you can see how he's just making more grossly overstated, completely inaccurate statements to inflame people's fear. It's called fear-mongering.
It's interesting to think.
In order to be relevant. So let's let him be relevant. That's what this episode is for, is to make Tim James relevant one way or another. We're going to learn some lessons, you know, because this is inexcusable to me. I don't care who you are. I'm nobody. So nobody's going to be worried about me, and they may never hear this. But I don't care who you are. This is wrong. If you're trying to represent the people of Alabama, represent them. But at least do some reading.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you're going to come at it with that much conviction and start slinging terms, at least use the right terms.
Correct verbiage.
I bet he says
important.
Cannabinoid.
Cannabinol.
Some of the conditions are cancer-related sickness, Parkinson's disease, epilepsy, depression, and that's chronic depression. That's people who have had it for years and, you know, maybe even suffered with suicidal tendencies, been treated in a facility,
and then it
long-term
passes
use
the body.
Of antidepressants, you know, Crohn's disease, HIV-related, AIDS-related nausea or weight loss, autism spectrum disorder, PTSD, and Tourette's. Chronic pain is also on there. Like we said, not respond, you know, something that doesn't respond to opiates or other conventional forms of pharmaceutical grade heroin that they give out.
And it's
just so ironic.
And yes, it says depression, but also like don't even like discount the amount of like psychological issues that these different types of sicknesses can be related to in mentally.
And I mean, medications that
go with
the problems that cause it. You're trying to fix one thing and it ruins five others.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that all the time.
And that's a big deal when it comes to, again, the information.
Here's another ridiculous argument. James criticized the program for only allowing only cash purchases and not set up to take credit card payments. Mr. James, I don't sell medical marijuana. I only sell hemp-derived products. And I've had 7 different credit card processors. I'm lucky every day of the week of the year if I wake up and have credit card services. It is a nightmare because the banking and the MORE Act, you know, it's dragging its feet. No, the banking, that's something the government should focus on, making the banking available because it's a commodity, what I sell. If I'm having this much trouble, we know that cannabis is, you know, especially until it's federally legal, you're not going to get banking and credit card services. That is not the fault of the state, nor is it the fault of the cannabis industry. That is a banking issue. So, you
know, it's a completely different conversation.
It's a lot of cash, but it's the only way to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the regulation involved is meant so that the state can come in and see how much cash are you selling to keep everyone on their P's and Q's. I pay my taxes, you know? Otherwise, we're in jail. We'll be right back to talk about one more ridiculous thing, and then we'll put this to bed and hopefully burn it. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to jump right back into this article because there's a couple things I want to make sure we cover. So we were talking about no credit card purchases. He goes on to say the person selling the medical marijuana is someone who used to be working at Walmart. He's making a whole lot of assumptions there. A whole lot.
And completely badgering out people that need stuff like this.
Well, and what's wrong with having formerly worked at Walmart? What if they ran the whole daggum place?
Did he ever work at Walmart?
Exactly. No, his dad was the governor. Anyway.
Exactly.
And he said the person selling medical used to work at Walmart and has zero medical training. He can't take a credit card, only cash. What does that have to do with the first two parts?
That's like saying somebody that sells coffee needs to know exactly how the processes are before you can sell it to them.
Right.
How or processed
coffee beans
foods.
Are roasted. And all. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, you
by
don't know
state
nothing
law,
about processed
yeah.
foods.
By state law, it's a cash business. We're talking big money, crazy money. There's a lot. I mean, come on. As long as there's steps in place to make sure that they get their tax money, you know, that's all that matters.
Hands raised. How many of y'all remember Marlboro commercials?
Yes, of course.
So
the Marlboro
there you
man.
Go. Hey.
Okay, so McMillan, again, who is on the medical commission, said the reason for the cash-only purchases is because insurance does not cover it. That's another thing. The final holdout for us for 420 is a four-hour liability insurance policy.
Yeah.
We finally found someone who would give us one for $8,000 premium.
Which is about the amount that's being spent.
For 4 hours. Because they know probably no one else will help us.
Mm-hmm.
And that right, we are over a barrel right now because everything else with the city is on point and it's growing, and somebody's going to come in and take advantage because it's nearly impossible to get insurance, to get credit card processing. I can't get a loan. I know y'all hear me complain. I can't get a loan, a line of credit, or a credit card. I've been in business for almost 4 years, and I do really well, and I've not broken any rules. And I still, it does not matter. When you say the name Cannabama, they don't even want to talk to you. That's going to be 10 times worse for someone who's selling medical cannabis because that's not federally legal. What I have is a commodity based on the federal government. So that's the reason why. They're going ahead and just saying, we realize it's a cash business. It's a cash business.
But is it,
if
but
the state was worried about it, they wouldn't have made it mandatory.
But it's also important to note, too, like where we're going through this insurance is also through a cannabis broker of insurance, which you would think that you would be able to find
they're
it more simply.
Cannabis people.
But obviously they're noticing and seeing where we're at, the type of demographics that this could possibly bring in. Again, the misinformation
and the events
of people.
In 3 weeks.
Yeah, and so the fear mongering of things. And, you know, so like they're just like, well, how can we both profit off of this or best profit off of this? Well, let's give
and
them a crazy premium.
And if nothing happens, I don't get that $8,000 back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford it. You know, I straight up can't. Now, I'm not spending $8,000 for 4 hours of insurance. I'm not doing it.
But this event is so important that they see
important.
The importance of that. And that's where this becomes really dangerous because we're trying to get this conversation to be more noble and,
right.
you know, having people, you know, build a community of understanding with not just people that use it recreationally, but also medicinally.
Right.
And need
we've
it.
Got police. We've got no alcohol. It's kid friendly. You know,
friendly,
it's heck, it'll be light outside.
Yeah, it will.
It won't even be dark outside.
For maybe 30 minutes, I think, of the whole night, it'll be dark.
The musicians can't even use profanity. I mean, like,
nope.
It is the most, you know,
and you
safe
can't
place.
Smoke in the park,
right?
So, and we're going to adhere to that,
right,
as best we can.
Parking lot, anyway. So, the last thing, which I think is just silly. Okay, so James said patients could be prescribed a large amount of product. Obviously, this man is not a connoisseur.
Part. Get to the next part, because that's where...
So he says, this is a quote. The law says you can have over 70 doses of marijuana in your possession, James said. No one needs 70 doses. The very first thing that pops into my head is, so those antidepressants or those diabetes medications or heart pills you take... twice a day times 30 days is how many days? That's 60 doses. That's actually a very normal amount of doses. And what kind of doses? Are they 5 milligrams? He's making it out like it's a pound of weed per dose, you know? Like you need a U-Haul to pick up your prescribed, you know, devil's lettuce. Oh, I'm so frustrated. Anyway, so, of course, McMillan from the Medical Commission said James is referring to a maximum amount that is likely not to be in line with what a physician prescribes. Again, I don't know why Mr. McMillan is using the word prescribes. Apparently, we're just going to misuse terms, which still keeps people in confusion. And that's the whole point of this show, y'all. The reason I'm just trying to dissect this for you is because I need you to understand that every line of information seems to be fraught with bull. I mean, the typos from AL.com. Sorry, AL.com. But come on. You're going to write about it. Same thing. You're going to talk about it. You're going to write about it. Get it right. And, you know, because I know if I said something off the wall crazy and somebody who knew better heard it, they would crucify me. So it's just another misrepresentation is what McMillan is pointing out. So every one of his points is a gross misrepresentation of the truth. And he has, if he's read the bill at all, he's purposefully twisting and using inflammatory terms and rhetoric that is irrelevant. Pot shops, one on every corner. There's a maximum of 37 in the entire state.
I'm trying to.
Where are 67 counties? It's only half the counties. If one in every county was applied, only half the counties in the state of Alabama. Now tell me how that's pot on every corner. That doesn't make sense. Again, math is part of law school and an undergrad degree. I hate math. I stink at it, but I can do that math. It's insulting. I think that's the point I'm trying to make, people. It's insulting that stuff like this is put in our faces, and it makes me disgusted and sad that because there just isn't enough information, like what I'm trying to do here, that's why they get away with it. Because we don't know better. We don't know better.
Well, also don't look at the other information that's out there.
And we're less and less inclined to do our own research, the more access to information we have. Because we got to look at TikToks.
Willful ignorance is a grand,
yes,
grand thing.
Yes. You know, to me, willful ignorance is as pain-numbing and trauma-numbing as a drug or food or sex or gambling. So James also hit back on Ivy saying she signed the medical marijuana bill into law despite opposition from law enforcement groups, including Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, who, by the way, wrote an entire, like, term paper on how medical marijuana would create another opioid crisis, and that is too dumb for me to even talk about.
It's another show.
Yeah, well, and I've mentioned it before, a six-year-old with Google.
Mm-hmm.
There's, anyway, Ivy's campaign did not immediately respond to the request for a comment. So his quote is, over half the district attorneys in the state of Alabama wrote a letter begging them not to do it, and they did it anyway.
It sounds like a child that doesn't want
their... And these are Republicans.
My brother is poking me, and yeah. I tell
he's
him not to,
me.
But he won't get out of my room.
He's
and...
looking at me.
I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
I'm not touching you.
This man will not have my vote for multiple reasons. And I think I have probably hurt somebody's feelings.
I don't like circles, and politicians talking in circles is very alarming to me, especially if I start getting a headache and I'm like, I don't know anything more of what you were talking about, having felt like I should have at least been given some information to understand it a little bit better.
Well, the thing that disgusts me the most, because I am an outspoken conservative Christian cannabis advocate, those words each have their own meaning.
What do they use? Religious conservatives?
Right. The fact that he is spewing this specifically to religious conservatives because he's lying to them. That's not very Christian, sir. It's not very Christian. It's not very conservative.
Well, you know, that's what I've been trying to look for the last like 5 minutes is in my research with cannabis, the education thing that we've been working on the WHO website, it talks about cannabis having at this point never having caused any overdoses.
Not one death recorded.
And that's what the WHO says, the World Health Organization.
Right.
So if you can just look at that little blanket statement and then kind of look at this article and see where the miscommunication is, well, it's there. It's always there.
Well, put that next to the statistics just in Alabama for opioid deaths. You know, so that's the law and medicine failing its community.
And just also remember that the opioids were considered the miracle drug at a specific point.
Right, in the early 1900s. All right, that's all the time we have for tonight. I hope this resonates with some of you. I hope that it just didn't sound like a rant, because I didn't want it to be that way. But I don't know.
This is important information that people need to know. Because not everybody
will
look this stuff
up. I want you guys to be aware. And maybe it was obvious and I didn't need to explain it all to you. But maybe somebody needed to hear it that way and have it pointed out. Don't forget about us. 420's coming up. Go to Canabama.com and the Canabama Facebook page and get your tickets today. We'll see you next week.
Yes.